our VBS. We often happen to have VBS come every year, and for those kids who come out, for the volunteers who come out, it's a great time. We talk about a lot of things, and the rest of the church really has no idea what actually has happened other than we've transformed the church. So today we're going to actually talk about what we're going to talk about at VBS. So we're going to actually get you guys involved in the same things that we are going to be talking about to our kids. So first of all, I'd like to welcome everybody here. Jambo Kerabuni. Wait a sec. Well, what? Kerabuni sana. Do we have, it was like close in the back there? A little Swahili going on? So we are Camp Kilimanjaro. We are camped out in the savannah underneath Kilimanjaro. The last time I was there was 25 years ago, and so my Swahili is quite rusty. But in 2 weeks, who knows, the group here might be speaking a little more Swahili, so I thought we would maybe start off with just a couple of Swahili words to get everybody sort of involved in things. So they're nice and small up there. So Jambo is hello. You can Jambo. Kerabu is welcome. Kerabuni is welcome to a lot of people, which is why I said Kerabuni. So if you welcome someone into your house, you say Kerabu, not like the animal, although that was their joke to us when we showed up there. And if you're going to say goodbye, Kwaheri. Kwaheri. If you're asking for something, so one of the words I learned is maji bariti tafadali, which is please pass the cold water. So tafadali is please, so we're going to teach some people how to say please and thank you. And asante is thank you. And if you really want to make it really nice, asante sana is more common. Sana means very. So oftentimes they'll say jambo sana, they'll say asante sana, and just very, very hello, very welcome, very all of these different things. If you're asking how you are, you can just quickly throw out habari. And habari is really only says news, but basically what you're saying, how's the news with you? The longer version is habari yako. That's what but habari is how most of them would say it back to us. And in Swahili, N's and M's are vowels. So nzuri. It's almost like Zuri, but there's a that's just kind of hidden in there. My favorite place to visit was a place called Msumbweni, which has like six what we would call consonants at the beginning of the name of their town, but that's two vowels technically because M's are also vowels. So if I say Habari, you can say Nzuri, or Nzuri. Shannon's correcting me in the back. And of course, if you watch The Lion King, what is the big line that they come up with? Okay, say it like you're from Tanzania, because they don't say Tanzania, because they don't also advertise the first or emphasize the first part. It's Hakuna Matata. Don't be saying it like Disney tells you it's completely wrong. So these are just a couple of words that hopefully as some of our VBSers come back, we'll be able to speak a little Swahili, and some of our kids might learn a few words along the way. And so we're transforming this into Kenya, Tanzania. But that's just part of it. Really, our goal is to transform kids, is to transform our leaders, is to transform ourselves through the message of VBS. And we kind of put these things up to sort of set the stage, but the reality is, it's not just about the decorations, it's not about the energy, the songs, it's about the message that's coming across. And just out of curiosity, who knows, other than those who are VBS volunteers, who knows what our message or our theme is? And you may get it from the screen if you look closely at an expedition through Proverbs. And Proverbs is about wisdom. So I had to look this one up. This is one that I did not know. Hekima. Hekima is wisdom. And we are going to be talking 5 days just talking about the wisdom through the Proverbs, but not just the wisdom of Proverbs, but wisdom throughout the whole God's wisdom in there. And as I said, this will be a little more interactive today. What is the definition of wisdom? Can throw to me what you think wisdom is. Life experience? Anybody? Wisdom is hard to, I had to do, one of my classes I just took recently asked me to do a definition of wisdom, and I knew the teacher, so the point of the beginning was to do a, you know, to do a simplified version, and then through the end of the paper say, so this is my learned version, and then it was like, oh, good, Mark. I learned as I went, but there's something about wisdom, it's, who do we, when we think about a wise person, what do we think about? I say to envision someone who is wise, what do they say? What's that?
Somebody who's learned through the experiences of their life the right things.
Learned through the experience of their lives the right things, yeah.
We're all not perfect. We all make mistakes. So I think, however, through that, making up those mistakes when we learn the right ways, we are gaining wisdom.
Right. So learning from our mistakes so we don't do it again, that we can also pass that on, is sort of the sign of someone who is wise.
The application of knowledge.
The application of knowledge.
But it's the moral dimension. It's all about moral, right?
So yeah, so there's a moral dimension. So it's not just applying knowledge. It's also applying it in a way that's morally right. I think, and the thing is that I think that when we think about wisdom, I think that we can very much get caught up on, I mean, we usually wise, we think older, more experienced, and yet the Bible talks to Timothy and says, don't have anyone look down on you because you're young. So there's an element of godly wisdom that isn't necessarily tied in with age. There's an element of wisdom that godly wisdom that he can impart upon people when asked about it. And wisdom has an awful lot of I think that's right, doing the morally the right thing with the information that God has given us and making wise decisions or giving wise advice. Proverbs 9:10 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And this is sort of the starting point, is that if we want to be wise, if we want to make good decisions, it starts with fearing the Lord. It starts off with this idea that God is, God has all the information that makes for good wisdom. And if we think that we have it ourselves, we become full of ourselves. But we have to actually have this recognition that there's a God up there who's bigger, who's greater, that's grander. And if we start with that concept, that I know nothing, and there's a God up there who deserves to be feared, who is grander, that is a great starting point for wisdom. And I think the problem is we don't usually start there. We start with experience. We start with life. We start with the knowledge that we come along with. 1 Corinthians 1:25 says, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength." And I think that when we start talking about wisdom, we don't want to get caught up in this whole idea of wisdom being something that we earn or we gain or something that actually, if I live my life right, I become a wise person. And we can in human aspects. But if we want to actually have God's wisdom, there's an element of trust in him. There's an element of the things that we need to have God be a part of. So Google defines wisdom as, or one of Google's definition is, the soundness of an action or decision with regard to the application of experience, knowledge, and good judgment. Oh, Google, I know your great words. The soundness of an action or decision, so in other words, that the action or our decision is sound, with regard to application of experience, knowledge, or good judgment. And so We apply it out of the experiences that we have, the knowledge that we've obtained, and good judgment that we have come across. So that's the Google version of wisdom. And as we get going, we want to talk just about the five different areas that in wisdom that we're going to go through. And each day is going to get a different body part. So we're going to start off with talking about wise ears. And we're going to look at a proverb that we're going to go through. We're going to look at a verse from the New Testament. We're going to look at the theme for the day. But what I'm going to do, which is going to be a little bit different today, is I'm going to set the table with just a couple thoughts. And then what I want you to do is I read the passages. I'll read a psalm or a proverb, and I want you to just think through it, pray through it, think through the words that are there. I'll pause for a little bit. I'll read the New Testament passage, think through it, pause through it, pray about it. We're going to leave time at the end for just some silence. And if God's wisdom speaks to you in that, I'm also going to leave a little bit of time open for you guys to share maybe what God is speaking to you in that. This is going to be a little bit less about me and an opportunity for God to speak to each one of us today. And if God speaks and says, I would like to share something that God has shared to me as I've been praying through these things, please, I'm going to invite you to speak out. And as we say during our sharing services, or as Pastor Frank said last week, we're not afraid of silence. So if after a few moments of silence and no one said anything, I'll just move on. But I won't. I'll be okay just sitting up here having everyone stare awkwardly at me. Okay, Scott. So wise ears. There is an element in this world. One of my teachers just said this a couple weeks ago, is that there's this need that we have this sense that we either feel that we need to be right or we need to be significant. And a lot of the actions, a lot of the things that we say and do come out of this basic need that, and you probably know people who say things over and over again and you can't correct them because they start fighting because that desperate need that they have to be right. Or they are significant, so they get up and they speak and they talk and they say things because they want to be the big man on the stage. But all of these options are things that we have this basic need for. But godly wisdom says it's not a need of what we say, but it starts with a need of the ability to listen. And God's wisdom says that we need to listen. That we're not always right, or we don't have to always be right. And we don't always have to be significant, but true godly wisdom starts when we actually listen. We close our mouth and we pay attention. Even though I have the right answer in my head, I don't have to shout it out at somebody. Or if I see somebody acting up, I don't have to put myself out there and actually say something to make myself look good. But wisdom starts with listening. And so as we read through these passages, I would just like you to pick out significant words, or if some of these things sit there, just prayerfully think through these points and the words that are there, and then we will talk a little bit about, and like I say, I'll invite anyone who wants to share anything that may have come up. So Proverbs 19:20. Listen to advice and accept discipline, and at the end you will be counted among the wise. James 1:19-21. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. And our question, do I have ears that hear and do God's word? So just take a moment to meditate on that. Any thoughts, anything that comes to mind that you would like to share with the church that maybe stuck into your as you were speaking or listening to God? I think sometimes we take discipline as a sign that God is punishing us and saying how bad we are. But you're right. I think that when we recognize wisdom, that sometimes discipline from God's perspective is what he's trying to teach us and how we can grow out of that. And listening to God is definitely at the heart of wisdom there. Okay, the next one we're going to talk about is having a wise heart. And that's, so the Tuesday we're going to talk about the need to have a wise heart. And when we talk about the heart, I think there's a lot of different ways that we can define what the Bible considers heart. I've heard recently someone said that when you hear the word heart, translated into the word mindset. So to have the heart of God is to have a mindset of God. And I like that. I haven't quite decided if that's what my definition is going to be moving forward. I tend to have always used the word passion. For heart is our passion for something. When we have a heart for God, we have a passion for God. And as I think about passions, especially from a worldly point of view, you hear the line an awful lot of people who say that they are lifelong learners. They have a passion to learn, to know more, to have more knowledge, to grow, to have these opportunities inside of you. And to be wise, if you believe that having as much knowledge in you at the beginning is going to help you make wiser decisions, that passion for learning then makes sense. There's others who have a passion saying, you know what, it doesn't matter to have all that knowledge if you're not doing anything with it. I have much more a passion of going out and doing something than learning something. I would much rather go out and do and act and all of these things. And there's this passion for wanting to get out there. And in some ways, we can look at wise people and say, look at how smart they are, or look at all the things that they do, and we can say they're wise. But actually, at the heart of what God is saying comes in wisdom is not a passion for learning or a passion for doing, but it says that we need to trust. We have to have a passion to trust him, which is opposite from learning, because the learning means that I think I can, I have all that information myself. Doing is sometimes we just get out there and do it. But a passion for trusting in God has a lot of unknown to it, a lot of leaving things open. And wisdom doesn't come from necessarily, or godly wisdom doesn't necessarily come from what we know, or it doesn't necessarily come from what we do, but godly wisdom actually comes from actually trusting in God, waiting on him, taking the steps that he directs us in, So let's read through some of the passages. And again, we'll sort of go through the same process. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, I think. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Matthew 6, 19 to 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And our VBS question is, do I have a heart that trusts in the Lord? So let's just meditate on that question for a bit. Does anyone have anything that, as you were thinking about these words, as you were maybe listening to God, that had some wisdom that you would like to share on this topic? You don't have to be old. You don't have to be English. You don't have to. You don't have to be a newcomer or a regular. And if you don't feel like saying anything, that's okay too. Yeah, for sure. I think that trust and fear seem to be the opposites, right? So when you trust in the Lord, that fear of the unknown, and then when you trust in God, saying there is no fear of the unknown, it's the opportunity of the unknown, and that's trusting that there's a big God out there. Thank you, Darcy. Yeah, exactly. It's this idea that God isn't there just when we desperately need him in a prayer circumstance or on a Sunday morning, but when we trust in God fully, he's walking with us every step of the way, right? And that's a hard thing to do. There are times, I think we're going to get into some of that sentiment as we go along, because all these build on each other. Yeah, and I think a godly wisdom recognizes that storing up the treasures on earth isn't actually wisdom. It's that those doing those things that are going to have eternal value, those treasures that actually is what wisdom comes out of. Yes, because if you know how it's going to end, it's not trusting, is it? So yeah, it's important to, and again, that goes to the fear thing, I think, too, is not knowing the outcome, not knowing where it could end up, but saying, God, I can sense you're moving me this direction, I'm going to do it anyway. That's huge. Like, who knows, you know, you're going to move up to northern BC somewhere and only come down for a long, oh, hi, Scott. But, you know, that's what the door opens. You trust that God's going to do something through you up there and You know, who knows what opportunities God's going to open up that you never had if you didn't actually take that chance. And it's usually so much greater than if we would have just sat in fear and did nothing.
I think sometimes, too, when you're looking at trust, it's kind of like trust and faith. And, you know, like the Bible says, if you
Yeah. And that whole faith like a mustard seed, in other words, it doesn't need to be an awful lot to trust God. No. It's sometimes it's just your first, you know, baby step that needs to happen.
It reminds me of your promises, God. Lord, I believe you all my unbelief.
Yes. So our third day, Wednesday, is going to be talking about a wise tongue. The things that we say and we talk about. And the four things that I'm stealing these ones actually from VBS that they talk about are of the unwise tongue is ideas of bullying, where we talk and we put ourselves higher than others. Boasting, where we talk about how great we are. Bullying is more putting people down. Gossiping, and where we're talking about people behind their backs or about different things that they may or may not have done. And outbursts of anger. And we all probably have at least one of these that we fall into. And yet, you know, godly wisdom, when we actually start asking for wisdom, when we start being wise, these aren't the things that come out of our mouth. Godly wisdom says that we need to build people up, that we need to, I use the big word, edify. Even though it's a short word, it's a more complicated word. But that we actually are encouraging people, that we're lifting people up, that we're actually making them feel better about who they are. And godly wisdom, if words come out of your mouth and they put people down, that's not godly wisdom. If the words that come out of your mouth actually build people up, that's godly wisdom. And I think especially depending on which kids are going to be coming here, you know, there's a lot of things that come out of their mouths. You know, hopefully Wednesday, this idea of let's make Wednesday a day that we only encourage each other. May we do that as a church, that every day is only a day that we encourage each other. So let's go through the process again. Proverbs 18:21. The tongue has the power of life and death. And those who love it will eat its fruit. And from James 3, starting at verse 3. When we put bits into the mouth of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark, and we know that from BC. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. So our question at VBS is, do I have a tongue that's tame? And we'll just meditate on this thought for just a moment or two. I'd like to share out of this idea. This one sometimes comes tough to me too because I like sarcasm. And I think I can do sarcasm in a way that actually builds people up. But that's maybe not because there's another verse in Proverbs that talks about saying just kidding and saying, well, that's, if you have to say just kidding at the end, you're probably not very wise. Yeah, how do you build up while you're correcting? Because some people, you know, if you suffer through the the outburst of anger, and you're correcting, sometimes that's not building up. That's, yeah.
Well, I feel the tongue is a very powerful thing. We believe there's scripture in the Bible that speaks of it as being a double-edged sword. It can hurt very deeply. It can wound people. It can produce great sadness and sorrow. But if we use that tongue to God's will, we can encourage each mm-hmm. other.
Yeah, and wisdom comes when we actually use the tongue for good rather than maybe our typical response that maybe come out of things. Okay, so let's move along. Wise hands. And so this is our actions that we're going to talk about on Thursday, about having hands and doing actions that are actually wise. And I think that the big problem tends to be that we sometimes act inadvertently, or sometimes we act without thinking. In fact, it's easy to go through a week and basically just not have to, like, I just do things. The other option is acting insensitively, where we actually we're not thinking properly. So it's not just that we're not doing it well, but we're actually doing it in ways that harm and hurt. And I think that there are ways that we can go through our weeks and our days and our moments, and we're acting and we're just not involving God in every moment of our lives. We're not acting in a way that actually involves Him in what we're doing. And it says in the Bible that godly wisdom is actually one where we are acting intentionally, that everything that we do, especially as we deal with people, as we spend our time with God, is an intention that we have chosen to do. That we don't just come across people and we just sort of say whatever, do whatever, act however we want to do. But everything that we do is worship to God. Everything that we do is honoring Him. And as we become wise, our actions are actually things that we are doing for God. So let's look through the scriptures. Proverbs 16, verse 3. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans. And Colossians 3:22-23-24, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Do I have hands that get to work? We'll just spend a moment here. Does anyone have any wisdom that they would like to share on, or something that God is speaking to them specifically on this topic? Yeah, and I think that the reason that we're going through the body parts is that they all work together, right? So yes, the hands and the tongue better work together, because that's when you get the word hypocrite out of it, right? You're saying one thing, you're doing a different thing, or your actions basically are speaking louder than the words that you're saying. And knowing when the words are more important than the action, and knowing when the actions may be more important than the words, and having that wisdom to do what is what God's calling us to do. Yeah, and I think, and I don't want to throw millennials under the bus like most of my teachers have been doing, but this idea that for a lot of this younger generation, you do what you want to do or what you feel fulfilled in doing, and if you don't feel fulfilled, then it's not something you should do. But there is an element of sacrificial giving that happens that God talks about, that there are times that we do things not because we want to or it feels good or that you know, all these other things, but there's sometimes our wise actions are things that we aren't good at or we don't want to do, but we're following God's lead and saying, just go out and do something. Thanks, Alvina. That's awesome, Lawrence. Thank you. Yeah, so that our hands maybe aren't just necessarily physical hands, but it's our actions, our doing, our laying of on hands on, like I say, your students, but on anybody that we come across that we are doing, that our hands are God's hands that are saying, this is what how I'm building and doing things for others. Okay, let's move on to Friday. Wise feet. Get going. No, I would have changed where this is going personally, but I also appreciate where Friday goes. And it's in some ways for some people, this is the verses in here are going to be the ones that they don't go. Well, is that the one you were going to choose? So we'll see. And the wise feet talks about actually who we're actually going to walk the rest of our lives with. And basically, it's who we're going to be influenced for. And in some ways, this is going to go the whole circle, is coming back to our listening. So who we walk with is who we're going to be listening to and who our influences are going to be. And we have the opportunity to be influenced by the wrong crowd. We have the opportunity to be influenced by the what the world is telling us, what the world is selling us on TV, what the shows are, what all of those sorts of things are. And we have the opportunity to walk with this understanding, the worldly wisdom that is saying these are what actually is most valuable. But the Bible talks very much about that we need to actually be influenced in godly community, that our influence comes within a church setting, within our small groups that meet together, within our Christian families. And that's where our influence comes. That's not saying that we don't influence outside. But if we're being influenced by who we're serving, if we're being influenced by who we're ministering to, more than we're the influencers, and we're not listening to the people in the church, we're not listening to other wise, godly men, that that potentially gets us down into a hole that goes the other direction. So I want to read for you a couple of passages again on our wise feet, on how we walk and who we walk with. Proverbs 13, verse 20. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. And a really interesting one I found in 1 Corinthians 5. I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral or the greedy and the swindlers or the adulterers. In that case, you would have to leave this world. But now I am writing you that you must not associate with anyone who claims to be a brother or sister, but is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater or a slanderer, a drunkard or a swindler. Do not even eat with such people. Wow. Do I have feet that walk with the wise? Take a moment to prayerfully ask God, what is he saying to me in these passages? Does anyone have anything they would like to share on those words? I think the wisest, I know that Solomon is given the title of wisest man on earth, and I think that's our Monday's starting point. But ultimately, it's Jesus that we walk with and Jesus that we follow. And he is the wisdom that we stay associated with. And hopefully, as we come together, that we can learn from each other, we can listen to each other. And again, this is where this whole cycle starts again, that if we're hanging out with people who are godly wise, that we also have the ability to listen to each other in community like this. And then the cycle continues over and over again. And if you look at that list, especially the one in Corinthians, and it says that these are the things that if we're brothers and sisters, we shouldn't associate with. Maybe if I want to be wise, maybe those are some of the things I have to get out of my life. The sexually immoral, the greedy, the idolater, the slanderer, the drunkard, the swindler. If I want to be listened to, if I want to be wise in a godly fashion, these are maybe the things I have to remove from my life. And if the people, if I don't remove them, and you're reading the Bible correctly, we shouldn't be eating together. That's a harsh, it's a harsh lesson. But it makes me say, what are the things that I need to clean up in my life? What are the things that if I want to be wise? And so one of the reasons we talked about this was for opportunity for A, so that you guys know what's happening in 2 weeks, but it also gives you opportunity, hopefully, to pray if you're not going to be here for what's going to be happening at our VBS for our community. Pray for the leaders that they might model godly wisdom during this time. We have a large number of younger kids this year that are going to be leaders, and a fair number that don't go to this church. They're either from Southside. We have a number from Derek's group that comes here, who don't come on a Sunday morning, but are just wanting to help out and do. And so there's an opportunity for them to learn wisdom, to model godly wisdom. And then we have a number of our more wise helpers that are taking care of stations, and that includes Alvina and Janet, Shelley, Kim, Heather, Chantel, Derek, Lisa, Matthew Rempel, are going to be helping lead stations. And at each station, there's the opportunity to continue to add this idea of wisdom to there. So Matthew's doing science, and Derek and Lisa are doing games, and they're doing crafts downstairs with Alvina and Janet, and not just the Bible stories where they're going to learn wisdom, but it's something that's going to be reinforced. And Travis and Alyssa are going to be up here at the front, doing the big time at the beginning, at the end, and walking around and influencing people. So pray for the leaders that they might model godly wisdom at VBS. Pray for the campers that they might learn godly wisdom at VBS. We have 71 kids right now signed up coming here. And again, not all of them, most of them aren't from our church directly. Maybe a third are from our church, and some are still from Southside, so it's not like they haven't heard the gospel. But there are some that don't go to church or aren't associated with church. So pray for our campers. Pray for ourselves. It's not just, we're not just throwing wisdom out in 2 weeks from now. This is something that is a message that we need to hear as adults too. This is something that we need to actually learn to do better along the way. And James 1, 5 and 6, just to close, says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind." If you lack wisdom, ask God, and he will give generously without finding fault. So if you went through this list and you said, oops, didn't hit it here, didn't hit it here, didn't hit it, I'm 5 out of 5 on things that I've missed, or at least 4.5 out of 5, or I'm missing a little bit of something, because I don't think that we're all 100% wise in all areas. But maybe that's an area that we need to pray for ourselves, that we aren't just wise worldly, but we're wise in God's eyes. And so with that, I would like to bring up our... Yeah, if we listen well, if we trust with our heart, if we speak with our tongue, if we act with our hands, if we walk with our feet, if we are wise in our whole body, if we ask God to actually help us in that way, it's amazing what he may or may not do and grow into us. And wouldn't that be a great church that this church is seen to have such godly wisdom that builds up, that encourages, that listens to each other, and all the other things. So as the worship team comes up, can I just pray for each and every one of us? Heavenly Father, I thank you again for our teachers that are going to be helping at VBS. I thank you for the kids that are going to be coming. And I thank you that you are a God whose wisdom outweighs the wisdom of this earth. And that sometimes the things that we think are wise are actually foolish, and the things that are foolish are actually very wise in your eyes. Lord, I pray that as we sat here and we contemplated maybe the areas that we are not wise in your eyes, that you would give us strength and encouragement and opportunity to be wise. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.